This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President, Tony Perkins. Sitting in for Tony today is the producer of Washington Watch, Russ Jones.
Well, happy Friday, Shabbat Shalom. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you once again here on Washington Watch. Lots of big news today. Well, for the first time, a sitting U.S. president has agreed to meet with a North Korean leader. That news...
President Trump said in our meeting, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said he is committed to denuclearization. Kim pledged that North Korea will refrain from any further nuclear or missile tests. He understands that the routine joint military exercises between the Republic of Korea and the United States must continue. And he expressed his eagerness to meet President Trump as soon as possible.
And that's Chung Ai-yung, the South Korean National Security Advisor, with that announcement. And President Trump has accepted this invitation to meet with the Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Is the pressure working? FRC's own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin will be here with his thoughts. And the most recent jobs numbers are out. The economy added 313,000 jobs in February, beating expectations. Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall will be here in just a moment to discuss what that number means. He also just returned from Mexico City for NAFTA talks. He'll give us an update on how that meeting went as well. And if you are a frequent listener here of Washington Watch, you know we've discussed the views, Joy Behar's comments about Vice President Pence's faith. Well, Disney ABC CEO Bob Iger had some splaining to do. Yeah, he had some splaining to do at the company's recent shareholder meeting. Justin Danhoff, director of the National Center for Public Policy Research Free Enterprise Project, will be here. He was at that shareholder meeting. He crashed the party, and it was Disney's adoration party of planted praise, and he took on the CEO. And Chad Merrill, president and CEO of Fellowship of Companies for Christ International, he'll be here. He's in Washington, D.C., leading a big conference. We're excited to have Chad on the program to hear all about the Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. Very exciting opportunity to talk with him. And of course, we'll take your calls later in the program. And all this great content, well, you can find it on the web at tonyperkins.com. You can follow Twitter on follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins, and you can also follow me as well at Russ Jones Speaks. Well, the numbers are huge. They're bigly. The American economy added 313,000 jobs in February, and the unemployment rate held steady at 4.1%. Joining us now is Congressman Roger Marshall. He's also a physician, and he represents the big First District of Kansas and serves on the Small Business Committee. Congressman Marshall, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Russ, great. Thanks for having me on this morning. It's a great time to celebrate in America.
Well, it sounds like it. You know, economists had expected 200,000 additions to non-farm payrolls with the unemployment rate falling to about 4.0%. What are these numbers telling us about the health of the economy?
Russ, this is the best economy I've seen in my professional lifetime. I was in medical school when the Reagan era was kind of happening, so I wasn't following the economy too closely. But she's humming. We're on the road today all over the state of Kansas. Talked to somebody that's in as a general contractor. It's just through the roof with the things that they're doing right now. Just walking out of a celebration with Spirit, which manufactures the 737 fuselage for Boeing. They're having record numbers. They can't find enough employees to do the jobs. We have like 50,000 open jobs in Kansas right now that we can't fill. I guess that's a good problem to have, but this economy is really humming.
Well, construction jobs expanded by 61,000 new positions. Retails and business services added another 50,000 jobs. And as you were talking about, manufacturing had a strong month, adding 31,000 jobs. And you know what, Congressman, I lived in Kansas for about two decades, and that district of yours, it's huge. It's called the Big First District, and you're out traveling around. Are people optimistic? You know, and I know folks get tired of the tweets and get tired of some of those sorts of things, but are people optimistic on what they're seeing?
Oh, absolutely. This is Trump country. The big first district belongs to Donald Trump. And, you know, I would add this, that agriculture is really struggling. The rest of the economy is humming. But thanks so much to the tax cuts and jobs bill. Thanks to the president rolling back regulations. This economy is humming. And now we need to get NAFTA done. I can't just begin to tell people how important NAFTA is to agriculture. We've expanded our export markets a multiple of 7 since NAFTA went into effect. So they are optimistic, but they're a little stressed right now with the price of wheat, the price of sorghum, some of those types of things. But I think they certainly have Donald Trump's back.
And how long can the mainstream media ignore these successes? I mean, you know, how will the media spin this? What are they going to say today? Well, why what the numbers 314,000? You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I just let it all fall off my back. I say laser focused on the job at hand. You know, I'm focused on making sure we get a strong NAFTA agreement. The president is focused on getting a strong NAFTA agreement. Canada is now negotiating with us. They weren't 2 weeks ago. I wonder why. I just ignore the mainstream media. I would just encourage people to read exactly what the president says, his speeches. Don't take it third hand from the press. Go to the horse's mouth, as they used to say back home.
And you're talking about NAFTA. You just returned from Mexico City, where you were meeting with negotiators, with trade leaders. And apparently the House Judiciary Committee invited you to go along on that trip. Tell us about that.
Right. It was actually the Ways and Means Committee.
Ways and Means Committee
is in charge of trade. And you know, most people don't know this, but any trade agreement, both the House and the Senate have to approve. So I was very honored by that Kevin Brady, the chairman of that committee, would invite me to represent all of agriculture. They just thought it was important to have an agriculture voice in that room. It seems like manufacturing kind of rushes to the front of these rooms. They're the big ticket items typically. But when you bring all of agriculture together, it's a tremendous amount of trade. You know, for instance, I think the trade to Canada last year for all of this country was $280 billion. The trade to Mexico was $240 billion. But what's really amazing is the trade to China was only half of what it was to Mexico. So we need to take care of our current customers. If I have any business people out there listening, they know what I mean. Take care of your good customers. Pay lots of attention to them. We can improve this program, but we can't lose track of what who our important customers are.
And you were with the Ways and Means Committee. What are some of the other issues that were discussed that you can at least share here on the program? And how are they interested in agriculture? And if so, what ways? Because you certainly, you know, a lot of farmland out there where you are.
Exactly. So 36% of the agriculture products from Kansas go to Mexico or Canada. So when we come to this NAFTA agreement, we want to make sure that we're streamlining the border processes. So, again, part of the President Trump theme is we need to secure the border. And as that border becomes more secure, it's going to make trade simpler. So we import fruits and vegetables from Mexico to a large extent. So if we can streamline that process, our kids, our families will have more nutritious fruits and vegetables. So there's lots of little examples like that we can improve. To be frank, Canada does not respect our intellectual property rights, and they're kind of taking advantage of them, and President Trump has called them on that, so we need to fix that. Kind of discussing whether we want a sunset agreement. Does this end in 5 years, or does it keep going? And you know, the way I would explain it is that this trade agreement's a lot like a marriage, that a sunset's not good. You know, when you get married, it's forever. Marriage is more about commitment than it is about some of the other things you might see on a commercial. So, but at the same time, you need to pay attention to your marriage. So every 3 or 5 years, we need to make sure we have a process for updating it. So those are some of the things that we're interested in.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Congressman Roger Marshall. He's also a physician. He's from the Big First District in Kansas, serves on the Small Business Committee. He's also one of FRC's True Blue members, and we're really thrilled to have him on the radio show today. And True Blue means that he's voting right and representing folks on the issues that matter, and received 100% vote on the True Blue list here at FRC. Well, Congressman Marshall, aren't we clearly seeing the differences between a business person in office versus a community organizer in office? I mean, President Trump, he's a deal maker.
Absolutely, it's night and day. And if I could just go back to your last point about the True Blue, we were also honored in Congress to have Tony Perkins up visiting with us 2 weeks ago. But for me to get to meet him in person, I was in the presence of a giant, spiritual giant, a person that we listen to every morning getting ready to get our kids off to school. And just appreciate that someone is acknowledging that we do have men and women of faith in Congress. We're the first thing we think about when it comes to new legislation is how is it impacting the family? Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it consistent with our biblical beliefs or not? And I don't remember the number, but I think it was over 200 of the 435 people in the House were awarded this. So it's just a reflection of the times that this Christian majority has finally mobilized itself and it is electing Christian men and women. So I just want to make sure that we talk a little bit about that and then answer your question. Absolutely. President Trump pushes the envelopes. He's not worried about which way the wind is blowing. He wants to do what's right. I think what he's done, if you look at what he pushed NATO to the limit, and now NATO is stronger than ever. He pushed North Korea to the limit, and now for the first time in ever, our president's going to sit down with the North Korean and maybe find a long-term solution. So this president is going to push China and make them come to the negotiating table. He's going to push Canada and Mexico to make sure they respect us as well. So it's just been an incredible turnaround. I'm just so proud to be part of it. So many once-in-a-generation opportunities to be in Congress right now.
Well, Congressman Marshall, I know Tony would appreciate those praises, and they're mutual. You're one of the good guys in Congress, and know that you're representing Kansans well. You know, I've been out to that district. Folks, it's big. It's expansive. And I know you're out there working. Folks think, when they're not in Washington, D.C., they're just on vacation. That is far from the truth. Yeah. You are out there seeing the folks.
It's harder to work back here than it is in D.C. So it would take 8 hours to drive from corner to corner to my district. So it takes about 12 hours for me to get from D.C., switch planes in Atlanta or Dallas, and then get to Wichita and then drive home 2 hours. And I can still drive another 6 hours to the other end of the district. So it's big, but it's also the richest agriculture district in the country, and just so proud to represent her.
Well, Congressman Marshall, thanks so much for taking time to be with us. You got about 20 seconds. Any final thoughts?
You know, like I was saying, just what a once-in-a-generation opportunity to be part of Congress. We passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Bill. We've rolled back regulation. We have a chance to whatever we're going to do next, an infrastructure project, get NAFTA, once-in-a-generation time to fix this. It's a great time. It's a great time to be an American. It's a great time to start a new career. Go get your education. Go start that small business that you wanted to start. This is the time to do it.
Congressman Marshall, thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch, and we'll talk with you, Lord willing, the next time.
I'll be looking forward to it. Thanks.
Coming up next, President Trump says he's meeting with North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un, but can the dictator be trusted? Are the sanctions working? The tactic appears to have worked. Well, FRC's own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin will be here to answer those questions and others when we return. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Yes, it's Friday. Happy Friday. Glad you're tagging along with us here today on Washington Watch. I am Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. A stunning announcement on North Korea, actually today. After months of tensions, President Trump has accepted an invitation to meet with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Well, joining us now is retired Lieutenant General Boykin, Jerry Boykin, former U.S. Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence under President George W. Bush. He serves as Family Research Council's Executive Vice President. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you, Russ. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, South Korea is praising President Trump and helped. It was kind of, do you remember back in the day when if you liked somebody, a girl in school, you'd pass them a note and say, yeah, I like you? That was the role today of South Korea yesterday.
Yeah, South Korea was certainly an intermediary here. And South Korea is doing all they can to avoid conflict on the peninsula there. And I think Donald Trump deserves just a tremendous amount of credit for bringing this whole situation to this point. That said, I do not think that it is appropriate to do any victory laps yet, because I, for one, do not believe that Kim Jong-un has determined that he is willing to give up his nuclear program. His father and him worked, for a quarter of a century here to get where they are. They're almost at the finish line, and I just find it hard to believe that they are serious about giving up their nuclear program. But we will see, and I'm glad that this initiative has unfolded here. We'll see if it actually happens.
Well, it's certainly been a talker, and don't you think the sanctions have led to this invitation?
I think the sanctions have played a major role in the bringing Kim to this point, because in reality, they are about to go bankrupt. The question is, how much cooperation are we getting from the Chinese on these sanctions here? And if the Chinese will actually stand firm on these sanctions, I think that we can cripple the North Korean economy, and that is something that, the people, starving people, are going to rise up against Kim Jong-un. So I think Kim is reading the tea leaves a little bit, but I'm not sure that he's concluded that he wants to give up his nukes yet.
And you know, this certainly isn't your first rodeo. You've been around before, and you've seen these kind of opportunities and these kind of discussions. Doesn't North Korea have a history of backtracking? You know, they reneged on a pledge back in 2005.
Yes, and they also did the same thing in 1994, I think, during the Clinton administration. They agreed that they would give up their nuclear program, and then they changed their mind and started testing nuclear weapons again and so forth. So, yes, they are not to be trusted. Kim, I mean, everything that Kim does is what's in Kim's best interest, not necessarily the best interest of the North Korean people. So I don't, I certainly do not trust them. And I think that, but I also think that they have now put themselves in a vulnerable position because they're going up against the master negotiator, and that is Donald Trump. And he is a you know, nonsense kind of guy that I think that Kim Jong-un is just not smart enough and quick enough on his feet to really deal with Donald Trump. And I think this is going to be interesting to see how this all comes out.
Well, we're hearing, a meeting sometime in May possibly or before. So in your gut, do you believe the meeting will even happen?
I think that there will be some false starts on this meeting. I think that they will argue over where it's going to be. I think that Kim will put up a big fuss. First of all, I'm not even sure he thought that Donald Trump was actually going to accept this invitation. But now that Trump has, I think that there will be some disagreements over where it's going to be, whether there's going to be any preconditions, which, in my mind, what Kim Jong-un is going to try to do is back Donald Trump into a corner, saying, I've offered to talk, but he demanded that we have preconditions, and I'm not willing to do that. I think that's why we should talk. Well, I think Trump's got to demand that there be that these talks focus on denuclearization of the North Korean country, and I think that he's going to play games with Trump. So let's just pray and hope that that he will come clean and do actually go into these talks sincerely, recognizing that the future of his country is at stake here.
And wouldn't that be something if they met in the DMZ? Isn't that what that area was created for, or maybe South Korea, China?
Yeah. Well, Panmunjom, which is I've been up there, and you can go to the border of North and South Korea, and there are Quonset huts there where the negotiations have been ongoing since 1953, and it straddles the border between North and South Korea. That said, Trump, there's no way that Trump is going to him. There is no way Trump is going to go and meet him there. They're going to meet on neutral territory.
Mm.
My guess is it will probably be in Europe. I think the backup would be probably maybe Japan. But even that makes it appear too much like Trump has given too much ground up front. But we'll see. But I don't think that it's going to be in Panmunjom.
It's been a good week for President Trump, hasn't it? I mean, we had big job numbers out today, over 300,000. And then this yesterday, I was trying to think that meeting that President Obama tried, you know, had scheduled. Oh, wait a minute. It never happened, right? When's the media going to actually give credit when credit's due?
Well, even some of them are begrudgingly giving Trump credit here. And you know, all things, this has been a good week for him in many ways, even though he took a lot of criticism for the tariffs.
Right.
The numbers are way up in terms of the economy and way down in terms of unemployment. Down to about 4.1. So things are good this week for Trump.
Well, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, thank you so much. We're out of time. You have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Ross. Glad to be with you.
All right. Thank you. Always very insightful. Well, a veteran of more than 100 corporate shareholder meetings called out the Walt Disney Company for its shameful manipulation of its recent annual shareholder meeting. Justin Danhoff of the National Center for Public Policy Research will be here to tell us all about that meeting. He crashed the party when we return.
you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay. Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue. If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's a pleasure to be with you here on this Friday. Happy Friday. Well, ABC's Joy Behar has reportedly apologized for remarks she made on The View, which, you know, we've talked about that a number of times here before. She said that if Jesus is talking to you, it's a sign of mental health issues, mental illness. Those comments were directed at Vice President Pence, and during the meeting, a recent shareholder meeting, Disney CEO Bob Iger faced questions. One came from Justin Danhof, director of the National Center for Public Policy Research, Free Enterprise Project. Justin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ. It's always nice to talk with you.
Well, listen, I've been following your work. It's impressive. You've attended roughly 100 different shareholder meetings in recent years, pushing back against corporate activism, which Tony, president of the Family Research Council, has been talking about that issue at length here recently. Tell us about the Walt Disney Company meeting that owns ABC. You were there.
Yeah, so this was, perhaps the most bizarre shareholder meeting I have ever attended, Russ. And as you mentioned, in just the last 4 years, I've attended over 100 shareholder meetings pushing for liberty on an array of issues, including religious liberty. And what happened yesterday in Houston, Texas, at the Disney shareholder meeting was truly shameful. What happened was they invited a group of Disney fan club members to sit in the section where you would be allowed to ask questions from. And they were allowed in the meeting before all of the shareholders. And what is this meeting for? It's the shareholder meeting. It's for shareholders. And so during the question and answer session, there was about a dozen soliloquies praising Bob Iger for being the greatest CEO ever and Disney for being the greatest company of all time, as us investors were all getting agitated because shareholder meetings are the one annual time that one time a year that investors are actually allowed to question CEOs, you know, in a public forum and get responses. And so these fan club members, one of them realized at some point that they were dupes, that they were part of a charade, that this wasn't right what was going on, that the investors should be allowed to speak. And so he actually forfeited his spot in line and let me ask a question. And so I asked Bob Iger very simply. I said, look, what Joy Behar said is just nothing but anti-Christian bigotry. What Jemele Hill said on ESPN when she was a SportsCenter anchor when she tweeted out that President Trump and his supporters are white supremacists. That's just so offensive. It's so beyond the pale. And I wanted to know what the considered the most powerful man in Hollywood, Bob Iger, had to say to the tens of millions of Christians and the tens of millions of Trump supporters that were ascribed these hateful labels by major, major stars on the big Disney networks. And interestingly enough, Mr. Iger did say that he personally took exception to what Joy Behar had said about Vice President Pence. But again, what she said about Vice President Pence, she also said about all Christians, right?
Right.
And so he did say that he took exception and that Joy did call Vice President Pence to apologize. What we've since learned, and what I'm going to say is that's a good first step, but it's barely a step and barely a first step. But it's good for what it is, but a lot more needs to come of this. What we have since learned is that in that phone call, Vice President Pence urged Ms. Behar to apologize to Christians across the country, to, again, the tens of millions, which is what I asked Bob Iger to do yesterday as well.
Right.
And we've since learned that Joy Behar denied that request. And yesterday at the shareholder meeting, Iger himself, again, the CEO of Disney, he had the opportunity. He had the public stage, the microphone. If he wanted to apologize on behalf of Disney to the tens of millions of Christians, I gave him the opportunity to do it, and he demurred.
Justin, we pulled some of that audio. I actually have his response to your question. Let's roll it.
What do you say to the tens of millions of Christians and President Trump supporters that your networks have so blatantly offended and ascribed hateful labels? And specifically, do you think, like Ms. Hostin and Ms. Behar, that the Christian faith is akin to a dangerous mental illness? And do you believe, like Ms. Hill, that President Trump and his supporters are all white supremacists?
First of all, Joy Behar apologized to Vice President Pence directly. She made a call to him and apologized, which I thought was absolutely appropriate.
Okay.
I happen to take exception with what she said. I don't think it was right, and I was glad to hear that she apologized.
So there you have that segment. I pulled that. So I guess, did you have support from other shareholders?
Yes, absolutely. Again, you know, they tried to run a sham shareholder meeting to start with, and we're actually going to be sending inquiries to the Securities and Exchange Commission about what Disney pulled yesterday by trying to have only planted questions. So, yes, the shareholders were with me and supporting me for two reasons. First of all, because I was standing up for, you know, I was standing up for so many millions of people who were offended, and many people who were offended were in that room. So there was a lot of Christians that came up to me afterwards. Some of them even hugged me because they were so thankful for somebody standing up to, again, the Hollywood Reporter calls Bob Iger the most powerful man in Hollywood.
Right.
Yesterday, I called him the most tepid man in Hollywood because
we're about out of time, Justin.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate
well, Justin, thanks so much. Yep. All that information is on TonyPerkins.com. We appreciate you coming on the show. Well, coming up next, we're going to go to the phone lines. Give us a call at 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We're going to talk about it. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And you know, it's people like Justin Danhof who is going to these shareholder meetings and holding these leaders accountable for their behaviors and their actions and why they matter. One of the things I wanted to mention, just a little factoid here, my stepfather's godfather was Walt Disney from Missouri. Actually, my stepfather's father gave Walt Disney the money he needed for a train ticket to go to California to pursue his dreams. Knew Walt Disney before Mickey was Mickey and watched him draw the Mickey Mouse cartoon on the inside of the garage wall. True story. Don't you wonder what Mr. Disney would think now with all of this going on? Well, we're going to squeeze in a guest here. He's very busy, has a conference tonight, and how appropriate to follow up here. Chad Merrill, President and CEO of Fellowship of Companies for Christ International, is with us now, and he's in Washington, D.C. for a conference. Chad, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
I am so happy that we could make this work. You know, I have watched your organization for years and have had great respect for what you do, and it's a pleasure and an honor for me to get you on the show today. Tell us about the Fellowship of Companies for Christ International.
Okay. Well, the Fellowship of Companies for Christ International is a 40-year-old organization whose vision is to transform the world through Christ, one company leader at a time. And we live that mission out by encouraging and equipping Christian CEOs to run their business and conduct their lives according to biblical principles. And that's why we're here this weekend in the nation's capital for this Impact Summit.
So you're at the Museum of the Bible for the Impact Summit, and you have about, 16, 18 marketplace ministry CEOs and a whole bunch of other folks. Isn't that right?
That's right. We think we understand this is an unprecedented historic gathering of the 16 or 18 national faith and work ministries. So their CEOs, boards, founders, along with about 400 CEOs from across the nation have gathered here today to talk about how we can collaborate through the weekend, much as how the Museum of the Bible has made a legacy statement and brought a lot of people together. We're working here to see how we can impact and work together in the faith and work movement.
Well, in the previous segment, we were talking about Disney's shareholder meeting, that owns ABC, and just why the lack of apology really publicly about calling out President Pence's Christian faith, you know, Joy Behar of The View. What I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the biggest challenges facing Christian operators today?
I think in one sense, just running a business and being a CEO is challenging. And the adage of being lonely at the top is very real, and one that we try to combat together. But there are lots of forces. You mentioned the vice president. I had the honor of being with the vice president last night for the screening of God's Not Dead 3 with a number of ministers, and we're just so pleased that the vice president takes the stand for integrity that he does. And representations like that of how he has to deal with in Washington are similar to the adversities and the battles that we face running businesses as well.
So to our folks that are listening, and we're on about 250 stations all across the country, Chad, what if there's a business owner, operator out there listening right now, they're needing help, they need a little direction, how can folks get involved, and what does FCCI provide, how can it help assist a business operator?
So we think, much like any type of life transformation, that small groups and being connected with peers, Christian peers, and folks that can help you walk through the challenges of life, whether that is cash flow or HR or how to run with excellence or how to work out what it means for God to run your business. Our premise is that God owns it all and we're a steward. And so we think just getting people connected, get them into groups, getting them material. We work closely with, Alliance Defense Fund and Pacific Justice and other folks like that can help if people have specific adversities. And sometimes it's education and having people to walk with. The same as in life and marriage and raising kids, you just need wise counsel and people around you. And so we seek to encourage, equip, connect, and resource Christian business owners.
And while money is right up there with oxygen, a lot of times it's not always just about the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. We think that in a person's transformation and in their Christian walk and growth, when they truly get the concept that God owns it all and you're just a steward, you're a steward here on life, that, you know, there's a triple bottom line and there are things much more important than money. But as we are a work faith ministry, we focus on being a CEO. And if your calling is to be a business owner, we want to help equip you and encourage you to do all that you do with excellence.
Now, there are chapters across the country, and that's how people, they meet together in different communities?
That's right. We have conferences like this one. We have a next CEO conference in Rancho Mirage, and there's chapters across the country, around the world. We're in several dozen countries around the world. And so, yes, we have that, but we're also here this weekend with the other major marketplace ministries to talk about how we collaborate. How do we come together in this movement? Together, we're stronger. There's comparative advantage and lots of other things around. And so we hope that the outflow of this will be a very unifying effort to work together so that we can cover all the sectors and cities, certainly around the country and then around the world.
Chad, we know you got to go. You got this conference here in just a few minutes. Where can folks find more information?
Well, on the website, www.fcci.org. There will be places to get in touch with people, and that's probably the easiest way to get in touch with us.
Well, thank you so much. I know you're very busy there here in Washington, D.C., and we hope to get you back on again and get an update with what's going on. We hope you have a blessed and successful event.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Well, that was Chad Merrill, President and CEO of Fellowship Companies for Christ International. You can go to TonyPerkins.com as well, and we'll have information for you there. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Jeff in Illinois. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you. I would like to comment that my Christianity was not at all challenged or offended by the remark that Ms. Behar made towards Mike Pence.
Right.
I've wanted Jesus Christ to speak to me for 30 years, and I've never heard a word.
Hmm. Well, you know, sometimes we are maybe too easily offended, but I think she did offend a lot of folks. And if anything, you know, out of touch with a good majority of Americans.
Well, I'm hoping that Jesus speaks directly to me or to someone like you, but I don't believe that Mike Pence has heard directly from Jesus. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Well, Jeff, I guess only the vice president knows that. So who am I to question whether he's heard the voice of Jesus or not? So that is between he and the Lord. Let's go to Brandon in Longview, Texas. Hi, Brandon.
Yes, I know there's a lot of buzz about George Behar, but I recently noticed this movie called Kingsland Secret Service Reunion. And it was very racially divisive, and it had a horrific church shooting scene when basically the entire church was massacred with a handgun. And no one seems to be talking about that. I found it to be highly offensive. I believe it was distributed by Fox Entertainment. It's currently out in Redbox and on Netflix. It's just unconscionable and completely shows a lack of corporate responsibility and ethics.
Hmm. And what is this you're talking about?
It's called Kingsman Secret Service.
I see.
It's a movie. It was released before it was released before the church shootings in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been re-released along with a second movie in that genre. And it was a fictitious scene whereby an entire it made up a certain homophobic slash supposedly racist church, and it had a scene whereby one of the lead characters went in there and assassinated mm-hmm. everybody in the church with a handgun.
Yeah,
they actually changed the original plot of the movie or the scene in the movie. It was another scene at a different location where the massacre changed. It was loosely based on a comic book. Mm. And they completely changed it over, set the scene in a church, and proceeded to massacre everybody in the church with a handgun. It's horrific, unconscionable, irresponsible, especially after being re-released along with their second in the series recently after all the shootings and massacres and all the racial division over the last few years. Just highly irresponsible.
Right.
No one's talking about it. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, that's more absurd than the Behar thing.
Right. Well, I appreciate you.
That's Fox Entertainment Division.
Right. Well, Brandon, I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. You're listening to Washington Watch. Give us a call. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We've got a few minutes for a couple of more caller questions. Been talking about holding into account Disney's recent shareholder meeting. And also, what a pleasure to talk with Chad Merrill, and what a great transition there, who's the president and CEO of Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. Really good to get his perspectives, and they're hosting a big meeting in Washington, D.C. here over the weekend. Well, let's go to BG in Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. I'm afraid for our president in trying to go to this meeting, personally.
Are you? You mean for his safety?
Yes. I know we have a good protective force, but that North Korean is a cagey person, and I wouldn't trust him.
Hmm.
I would not trust him at all. I would I would be leery of undercoated bombs and everything else, or sharpshooters or whatever. But it would have to be in such a secluded space that nobody could touch either one of them if they have a meeting.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, certainly things to pray about, and a lot needs to happen between now and then, but I appreciate you sharing that concern. Let's go to Jason in Delaware, Ohio. Hi, Jason.
Hello, sir. Love your show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I thought I would before they attack the First Amendment and bring that down as well.
That's right. Well, right now we're free to roam.
Yes, sir. I'm a former United States Marine, and I'm a police officer. And what's
thank
really
you for
sad,
your service.
I swore an oath to... Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and what really makes me sad about all the conversation is people are running away from the Constitution, and we need to run to the Constitution. We already have the right of self-defense, as long as you're not a felon, and the experiment of gun-free zones, we have to admit, has failed. And so we need to go back to the Constitution, back to at least teaching our children how to, once they turn 18 and they're non-felons, to be able to defend themselves, and the teachers as well. We need to go back to that. But, of course, you know, and I know, Mr. Perkins, it's deeper than just self-defense classes and good training and good marksmanship. It's also about getting back to God and an idea of you shall not murder. My dad bought his first shotgun at 14. He's one generation ago, and no one said anything. No problem. Used to bring a shotgun to school during hunting season, and I just kept it out in the car, out on the rack, loaded.
Right.
safety on, of course. But no one called the cops. No one was afraid because they still believed in you shall not murder and a holy God that you would be brought to task in front of an eternal punishment in hell, but also eternal reward in heaven. So we need to get back to the Constitution and get back to founding principles. And as I've heard it called now under Jordan Peterson, there's even Christian atheists now who at least adhere to, they don't believe in the literalness that me and you do of the Bible, but they at least are starting to adhere to those moral principles. We need to get back to these principles, and thank you so much for letting me comment.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. I think we got time for one more call. Let's go to Peter in Ohio. Hi, Peter.
Yes.
Welcome. Real quick, we're about out of time.
Okay. I just wanted to say that Joy Behar is basically blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She describes that... you can't hear the Holy Spirit talk to you, and that is mental illness.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think a lot of people are believing that and seeing that as well, and very good observation. Appreciate that, Peter. Well, it's been great to be with you all here today on Washington Watch. It's always a joy to be with you, to sit in for Tony Perkins. You can find all of this content on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins, and you can follow me at Russ Jones Speaks. Well, as we end the day on this Friday, I leave you with this from Psalms 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And friends, I leave you with this. If the Lord doesn't return and the waters don't rise, we'll see you soon.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.